Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Football Absurdity Podcast. My name is Jeff Crisco, here with just one co-host, Walker Kelly. Walker, how are you doing today?
Pretty good. You know, we finally got rid of Mike. Now we can talk all the shit we want about Mike. Just kidding. Oh,
Mike. Mike, Colts are bad. What now? Deal with it. What?
Yeah, the Colts suck.
Yeah. No, Mike is at one of the last remaining games. They're counting down the Sacramento River Cats till they're the 1B team in Sacramento to the Sacramento A's.
Yeah, yeah. Are you going to become an A's fan, Jeff?
No. I'm not going to go to lots of A's games. Yes.
That's fair. That's fair. Yeah. I respect that.
Yeah, the location for so people who don't know, Mike's a season ticket holder for the River Cats AAA Giants team.
Yeah.
But the stadium only holds 10,000. They're like, it can hold up to 14,000. And it's like, that's if you're really cramming people into the grass on the outside. Like, that's not how this works. Like, they have in the outfield this like grassy area.
Oh, grassy knoll. Like,
yeah. Where you could just like take out Aaron Judge or let's just say Ian Kennedy. Kennedy's taken out from the grassy knoll.
we're creating a solution to the Buddy Kennedy problem.
That's right. But yeah, it's going to be an interesting stadium for Major League Baseball. But hey, I mean, most A's games only get like 6,000 or 7,000 people anyway. So
fair. Yeah, that's it's probably. I mean, logistically, I think it'll be fine. But you know, it sucks.
It does suck. It sucks really bad. And they're not even going to call themselves the Sacramento A's. They're just going to be the A's.
Yeah. Great. Woo.
Woo. All right. So
everyone's still going to call them Oakland, even though ain't there.
I saw the Las Vegas A's of Sacramento.
That's pretty good.
Let's call them that.
Pretty good. Yeah. That's ugh, God, what a mess.
All right. So we're going to talk. We're going to empty the notebook on wide receivers. We talked our 1 through 5s, but that ended up being 1 through 6 because we already talked to Keon Coleman. He was the consensus number 6 for us, but Walker had him top 5, so we already talked him. So the guys we've already talked, which if you want to check out the last episode on our Patreon, was Marvin Harrison Jr., Malik Nabers, Romo Dunze, Brian Thomas, A.D. Mitchell, and Keon Coleman. What we're also going to do is, if you're a patron, we're going to have a second half of this episode where we talk the tight ends. We were really struggling because the tight ends are not worthy of their own episode. The running backs were really bad, and the tight ends are somehow even worse in this draft. But they do have a stud in Brock Bowers, but we'll talk about those at the end. If you are a non-patron, you'll just get the wide receivers. If you are, you will get the tight ends as well. So, Walker. We talked the good guys. Now we're going to talk the fast guy. Xavier Worthy, 5'11", 165 out of Texas, 9.41 RAS score, broke the speed record in the 40-yard dash. What do we think about him as a fantasy prospect his rookie year?
Probably not good for fantasy. I think he will largely be used as a deep threat, you know, take the top off the defense guy. I think early in his career, you could compare maybe the impact to like a Jameson Williams. He doesn't quite have the size strength combo that Williams mm-hmm. does. And Williams can be used kind of like as a gadget player in the run game as well. I don't think you're going to do a whole lot of that with Worthy at 165 pounds, but he's a good route runner. He can get open. He can get yards after the catch underneath because of his, you know, prodigious speed. And of course, he's going to be a huge deep threat because, you know, if he gets a clean release off the line, you're not going to catch him. It's just not going to happen. So he'll have some big plays, but in terms of consistent fantasy production, unlikely.
So I think the thing that a lot of people will say with Worthy is because we had like John Ross a few years ago and he was awful. But Worthy is different from John Ross in so much as he does leverage his speed very well. Like you said, he can get open. He does a great job of like cutting back on curl routes or just digs and stuff where he can leverage his speed to make the defender get away from him underneath.
Yeah, he's definitely a good separator. Whereas like Ross wasn't really a great route runner. He was mostly just a speed contested catch guy, and he was too small to do contested catches in the pros, so it turned out all he could do is run. Worthy is a real receiver.
Yeah.
He didn't just put up numbers because he ran downfield. Like, he ran real routes, and he has the ability to separate and get open. I mean, I like him. I think that he will be a better real-life football player than fantasy football player, as most extremely fast guys are.
Yeah.
But he will definitely have a use as a top three receiver in an offense for some team. And I think he could even be a number two target for some team. But he's almost assuredly too small to be a true number one.
Yeah, 165 pounds. It's one of those, like, oof. Like, you're really talented, but I think your size is going to betray you a little bit. I put Worthy as a fast NFL quality wide receiver, not a fast player in the NFL playing wide receiver, which is true of so many guys where they're just a fast guy who's not really NFL quality. I'm thinking, sorry, Waleed, like Jalen Hyatt, he's just a fast guy. He's not great at the intricacies of playing.
Not yet, at least. I mean, yeah, this is not a Velus Jones.
Yeah, exactly. He's okay. I comped him to Darnell Mooney.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, honestly, if he ended up having a 1,000-yard season at some point during his career, that would be probably a good outcome. He doesn't really have a great comp, in my opinion, because you're looking at, you know, like, size comps. You're looking at, like, maybe DeSean Jackson is, like, the top end, but I don't see Worthy being that good. And then after that, it's like, well, you have 1 year of Tank Dell and then, like, a bunch of guys who suck. And it's just not – it doesn't really work. I mean, with this lack of size and incredible speed combo is so rare. I think he's kind of a one-of-one player. I mean, I comped him in play style a little bit to Marquise Brown, where the routes he's good at running are, you know, deep – underneath and quick cut stuff over the middle where he can utilize his speed to fool defensive backs.
Mm-hmm.
I think if you put him in that role and use him as the number two target in an offense, he can succeed. But the team that drafts him is going to have a pretty specific and well thought out plan for him.
Yeah, he's not going to be a guy that you take because you're like, oh, we need somebody in this wide receiver room. I had him going to the Bears because it's like you've got DJ Moore, Keenan Allen. Neither one of those guys is a real deep speed threat. And that's what Xavier Worthy can do. And so I think that Xavier Worthy as like a second rounder, if they don't take a.
The Bears don't have a second rounder, though.
Oh, that's right. That's right. They don't have a second rounder. Well, they trade back from 9 and they pick up a second rounder. There we go. We did it, everybody.
Yeah, that could actually happen. So
yeah. So I forgot that they don't have a second rounder because was that the Chase Claypool one?
Yeah, I believe that was the Chase Claypool trade.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Good job, Bears.
It might have been the Montez Sweat trade, though. I'm not sure.
Actually, I think it is the Montez Sweat trade because I think the Chase Claypool
pick. I think that already happened. Yeah. Yes. I think so.
But either way, they don't have one in the second round. So let's see. Bears deal for former first round pick for 2024 second rounder. So the Commanders have their pick. So okay. All right. So Xavier Worthy, he's good. He's just not great. I just don't think he will have a role. I just don't know if he's really fantasy worthy. And we'll see. He's much better than the next guy, Troy Franklin out of Oregon. Somehow I ended up talking about him because he's somehow because I just needed a guy to talk about. 6'2", 176, 9.33 RAS. I'm not that high on Troy Franklin. He's like way too skinny, like incredibly skinny. He's 6'2", 176. That BMI ties him with Kevontae Turpin for the lowest of any wide receiver in the NFL once he gets drafted. When he gets drafted, he'll be the lightest receiver who is at least 6 foot tall in the NFL.
I thought Devontae Smith was 6 foot.
I think he's listed at 5'11".
Smith.
Because I did a 6 foot. Okay, so it depends. It's some
depends on what Devontae Smith is listed at.
Yeah, exactly. So Devonta Smith, he was, what the heck? Why didn't Devonta Smith show up in my
what's query?
My query. Thank you. What's he listed at on Pro Football Reference? Devonta Smith has him listed at 6. Why didn't he show up? Yeah, he's 6 foot. Okay, so I'm on. He's the second skinniest.
Okay, fair enough.
Okay. Sorry, he didn't show up in my Pro Football Reference query, despite Pro Football Reference listing him at 6 foot. So I don't know why he didn't show up there. So he'll be the second skinniest. Trey Franklin, he was pretty much, his best route was a go route, and like that was it. He needed to be wide open to catch the football because he played exactly as like his BMI. He didn't play very strong. He did find himself open fairly often on curls and comebacks because of the speed threat. He just isn't very versatile. Like, I think that he'll win someone a lot of money on like a DFS weekend. Weekend, I just don't think he's going to have a lot of consistent production in NFL. I comped him to a guy who I had to look him up because he kept changing his name. It's currently Robbie Chosen.
Robbie Chosen, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, my comp is Marquise Goodwin.
Okay, I had Marquise Goodwin for Xavier Worthy, so.
Yeah. I mean, just a skinny guy who is real good at running downfield. Franklin was pretty clearly the best receiver on Oregon's team. And I think he is an NFL caliber wide receiver, but probably not as a top two guy in an offense. I think he's more of a wide receiver three in the NFL, somebody who specializes down the field, who takes the top off the defense. And it's not too dissimilar from Worthy. Worthy's just a better technician. Whereas Franklin is, you know, bigger, but not stronger, and doesn't quite have the route running acumen that Worthy does. I mean,
Franklin's kind of, if you took Worthy and put him in a bigger body, but
just stretched him out a little.
Yeah, just stretched him out, but he didn't know how to use that bigger body.
Pretty much. Yeah. I mean, yeah. Franklin, again, he's so skinny that, you know, winning contested catches is not necessarily going to be his forte. If he can go up and get it, he's fine. Mm-hmm. But fighting for the ball, not really what he's good at. I mean, if he can consistently create separation, then I could see him maybe getting, you know, 1,000-yard season. And I think the Anderson or Chosen comp is not bad in that way. I think Mooney, again, is a guy that you can bring up in the Franklin conversation. He has a large range of outcomes. Like, I feel like at his ceiling, he's a wide receiver too, and at his floor, he's like barely hanging onto a roster spot. I mean, it completely depends on his development as a professional, and we'll see where he goes. I mean, he'll go in the second round, probably the early second would be my guess, but it depends where he goes. I mean, if he goes to like Washington, I don't have a whole lot of hope.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's not going to work out. I have him as a good fit for the Ravens in that kind of like Devin Duvernay, like just downfield guy role that might work out well for them. But I'm not huge on him. I have him like as a day three, or not a day three, a round three pick, not a round two. So I have him like a full round behind where you think he'll go.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I gave him a third round grade and I don't love him. But yeah, I think a lot of these receivers are going to go earlier than what my grade signifies that they should.
I think so too, because I think the problem is we're going to run into a situation where like we could have like conceivably like six guys go in the first round, which is crazy. That's insane to have six wide receivers go in the first round.
Yeah, I mean, almost assuredly five will, and I think like KC at 32 is like a potential receiver destination as well. So, yeah, I mean, six is definitely possible, and there's probably going to be maybe a dozen in the first 70 picks.
Yeah.
Which is crazy.
It's nuts. Like, guys are going to get pulled up. Like, I think neither one of us really like Ladd McConkey, but I think he's going to get pulled up because
he could go 32.
Yeah, he could possibly go. Yeah. Especially because the Chiefs all of a sudden need a wide receiver because Rashee Rice is a idiot.
Big dumbass. Yep.
Yeah. Big moron. So, Same with Jordan Addison. I don't know if you saw Jordan Addison is a an Andrew Tate guy.
Yep, I did.
Oh, come on, guys. Marron, get it together.
All of your wide receiver crushes turned out to be insane freaks.
Yeah. And not in a good way, like Sun God. Sun God is an insane freak in a good way.
It's a fine line.
Oh, man. So let's talk about the next guy, Roman Wilson out of Michigan, 6 foot, 192, 6.46 RAS score. Walker doesn't have Roman Wilson in their top 10. I have him at 9. Tony has him at 6. Mike has him at 10. Consensus of 9 on this one. I mean, Roman Wilson is like, he's fast and tough. And I liked the connection that he had with JJ McCarthy. Like, he kind of played with JJ McCarthy insofar as they made it a two-man game when things broke down. He can straight up sprint past guys against man. He leverages speed well to break off routes, just like we talked about with Worthy and Franklin. I do think he's a little bit of a better, I don't know, he does a good job of finding himself open more so than Franklin does. And I think that he's speedy and shifty, and he's good for a mobile quarterback when the play breaks down. I think that if he lands back with JJ McCarthy, things will work out well for him. Or if he ends up in Pittsburgh with either Fields or Russ, and he gets that connection with them where he can play that two-man game with them. He doesn't overpower out muscle anybody at the point of the catch. He's just smooth. He was just like smooth and reliable for Michigan. He had good hands. And he's fast, but not like otherworldly fast. He ran a 4.4 or a 4.39, I think he ran.
Yeah.
I saw a lot of like Tyler Lockett in him. He ran a 4.4. Lockett
definitely
didn't,
very, very high end.
Yeah. Well, what I was going to say is he could develop into Tyler Lockett. And Lockett didn't hit the ground running either, but just kind of like he kind of developed as he got rapport with the quarterback, in that case with Russ, he became a much better player. And then as soon as Russ left, things kind of fell apart a little bit for him because his skill set didn't work for like Geno Smith as well as it did with Russ. So I think that like his play style is a lot like Tyler Lockett, not his skill level.
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah. I mean he's solid. He did absolutely nothing in his college career until his senior year, which is a little concerning. I'm not really sure what was going on there, but he just was not a feature part of the offense at all until his senior season. Now he was fighting with Nico Collins for like a couple years of that, but I mean, at this point, the only receivers he was like up against were a true freshman and Cornelius Johnson, who isn't good. So, it's a little concerning that he only produced when he was the only guy who could produce anymore.
Yeah.
But he still did. He caught a lot of touchdowns. I think Wilson is kind of like a fringe day two guy for me, where like the ceiling is like Deontay Johnson, where he could be like a wide receiver too. Floor is more like, who's a good route runner, fast, maybe like Hunter Renfrow. He's not big or small. He's a good route runner, but doesn't really burn you despite having good speed. Could definitely compile his way to a 1,000-yard season, but probably isn't going to be consistently a top two target in an offense.
I do like that. And it does also play into like Renfrow is a good heads up player.
Yeah.
And that is a big part of what Roman Wilson does.
Yeah. I will agree with you that Wilson is quite effective in the scramble drill. At least he was with McCarthy. I would imagine that continues to a point in the NFL. He's your wide receiver three quarterback's best friend type guy.
Yeah, he's the guy that if you have a bad quarterback, all of a sudden he's getting 95 targets with an ADOT of like 6.
Yep.
Yeah. So yep,
that is correct.
Speaking of 95 targets with an ADOT of 6. Ladd McConkey. Ladd McConkey out of Georgia, 6 foot, 185, 9.33 RAS score. Mike is the only person who had Ladd McConkey in his top 10. Walker, I know you're a big fan of Breakout Age. You can't stop talking about Breakout Age. You love it. Can you take a guess as to Ladd McConkey's Breakout Age? Because Twitter loves him, and Twitter loves breakout age.
How old is he right now?
Let me look that up. Ladd McConkey. Bad McConkey. I forgot to call him by his proper name. Ladd McConkey is 22.
Okay, 21.
He did not break out. He did not have a season that qualified as a breakout. He did have, and I think this drives his value, is that one big catch against Bama, where he just kind of chucked it up and McConkey came out of nowhere to catch the ball. And I think that's doing a ton to drive his price, because a lot of draft freaks on Twitter lost their mind about that ball, about that catch. Because here's the thing. Ladd McConkey, he's not good.
He's fine.
He's fine.
Yeah, he's a pretty good route runner. He's athletic. He's strong. I will give him that. He can block. That's about it. I mean, his hands are fine. Nothing to write home about. He isn't like a go up and get it guy, really. He runs good routes, but he's not like, you know, elite at that. He's not elite at anything, is the thing. Like, he doesn't have any trait where you're like, oh my goodness, wow, what a great player. You know, he's not shifty enough to play in the slot, really. He's not that big, and he's not going to beat guys for strength out wide. He could beat you for speed on occasion, but I don't see that being something that he consistently does. I feel like McConkey's going to get just kind of lost in the wash for somebody. Like, he's going to end up as a team's wide receiver 3 or 4, depending on what is around him. I just, this is the first guy where I really don't understand the hype at all, because he's probably going to go, like, between pick 30 and pick 40.
Yeah, and he's I have him back in round one, early round two is where I think he's going to go.
Yeah, and he should not go there.
No, I truly don't understand. I'm wondering if this is, what was it, Josh Kelly, where we're like, he's 6 out of 10 in everything.
I think that was Isaiah Spiller.
Was that Isaiah Spiller? I knew it was one of those
Chargers running backs. Like, yeah.
Yeah, where he's 6 out of 10 at everything. And so when you add up like all of his traits, like, he gets a decent score because he's not terrible at anything. And he has like decent size. Like, he has okay size. He has good size for old slots, but now slot guys are getting bigger and bigger and bigger. So, you know, like, CeeDee Lamb plays out of the slot. And so you get like, if this was 10 years ago, he'd be one of the bigger slot receivers in the NFL, but this isn't 10 years ago.
But he's probably not even going to play in the slot that much, is the thing.
Yeah.
Like, he lined up outside a lot at Georgia.
Yeah. He runs good routes. I will give him that.
Mm-hmm.
And that is all I will give him.
Ladd McConkey is going to, he's going to catch a bunch of like 9-yard passes. That's great, you know, but I don't think he's the type of guy who's going to be a real difference maker for an offense. I think he'll fill his role pretty well.
Yeah, I think he's going to be the kind of guy who doesn't really do much to start off his career, then will have one big game, like in week like 14, where everybody ahead of him is hurt, and then everybody will latch onto that game. Like,
so he's Greg Dortch, but tall?
Or literally what happened to Elijah Moore.
Yeah, that's definitely a good comp, because McConkey is getting hype for the same reason, in that he's a good route runner and has some speed. But I could see Elijah Moore, but can block.
Yeah. He is a better blocker than Elijah Moore, but from like everything about him just reminds me so much of Elijah Moore. Like not really me, not really understanding too much about it. Fantasy X going crazy about him. And it just not really adding up, and him probably going to be a deeper option on a team till everybody gets hurt and he's gonna get thrust in the spotlight, have one good game, and then everybody's gonna fawn all over him. And went way too high in the draft. Elijah Moore was picked 34.
Yeah, that's about where McConkey's going to go. Yeah, I think that's a good comparison.
Yeah, I think if you love Elijah Moore, you'll love Bad McConkey. But I don't love Elijah Moore, and neither does Walker. So we're not huge on Ladd McConkey here, but Walker loves Jalen McMillan.
Yes.
Wide receiver 7 for Walker, the highest ranked out of all of us. 6'1", 192 out of Washington, 9'4", 3 Raz. One of a lot of guys coming off the Huskies into the draft this year.
Yeah. Yep. He is a real, this is a real ass route runner.
real ass route runner of the week.
Yes. He is very, very good at running routes. Consistently gets open, uses his, strength, size, leverage to beat guys out of the slot consistently. He was extremely productive his entire college career until getting hurt this season. A guy that I don't think we're going to end up really talking about is his teammate, Jalen Polk, who is being projected to go about 20 to 30 picks ahead of McMillan. Mm-hmm. McMillan is for sure better. Like, it's not even a question. McMillan's, you know, has a translatable skill in that he can consistently get open on money downs. And I just, you know, that's something that's valuable to teams. And I think that he's never going to be a star, but mm-hmm. he is your Tyler Boyd in this class, where he's got pretty decent size. I mean, 6'1", 190 pounds, athletic, you know, strong, good route runner, good hands, gets his head around, gets back, you know, helps out his quarterback. He's not the fastest dude. He's not the most explosive dude. He's not going to kill you yards after the catch, but he's just going to get open and make the catches he's supposed to make. And I think that Boyd is, he's my favorite comp in that way, where he is a guy who, if he's your second wide receiver, that's fine. If he's your third wide receiver, that's fantastic. And
that's the perfect Tyler Boyd like realm.
Right. And so McMillan is just one of those guys who I think fits a role a little bit better than some of the other guys in this class do, that he might have higher ceilings in theory than McMillan. But I think McMillan is very translatable.
So I agree that he's much better than Jalen Polk. Jalen Polk's best trait is that he loves to block. Like, Polk was an incredible blocker. I have Polk. Let's see. I have Polk as my, I watched 20 receivers. He's my 19. I have a round 6 going to the Patriots as Jacoby Myers. I have McMillan as 14, going to the Vikings in round 4. But I see him a little bit different. I see him. I said that I felt the weirdest trying to put an ordinal rank on him, because it all depends where he ends up. Because I see him more as a Curtis Samuel type, where he lined up all over the field for the Huskies. Like, he lined up in the backfield a lot, was a motion guy on a lot of his routes. Like, he's okay as just like a traditional, like, you know, line up on the line of scrimmage, runner out receiver. I didn't see a lot of him with that, but I did see him getting a lot of like pre-snap motion that would work him open. And then once he gets the ball in his hands, he's really good. He's not like he's not a one trick pony at that, like Malachi Corley is, where he's just kind of like we talked before we started recording that he's basically LaVisca Chenault. But like, I think McMillan is decent, but I think that, yeah, he's best suited as a weapon in an offense than somebody that you really lean on to be a big bulk of your production, because you can scheme him into stuff, but he's not going to, I don't see him really lining up on the line of scrimmage and beating guys too much.
I think he can in the slot, but I don't, outside is not his forte. His releases are good, but he's not really a burner necessarily. Uh-huh. And he's not really a leaper either. His RAS is mostly because he's not like unathletic at anything. And so he just compiled a bunch of good scores and it added up to a 9+. He's not a freak athlete or anything, but he's plenty good enough. This is one where I can understand if you're a little lower on him than I am. I know that I'm, you know, one of the highest on McMillan, but again, I just think he's ready. You know, he's an easy projection for me, where he can step in and be a team's wide receiver 3 right off the bat. You know, this would be somebody who I think would be good for Chicago to pick in the 3rd round, because he can learn from Keenan Allen for a year and then take over the slot role year 2 and just run with it.
I mean, that's That's fair. I see him more. I don't know. I don't see him on that Keenan Allen trajectory, Tyler Boyd sort of thing. I see him more, like I said, more like a Curtis Samuel type, where he can run routes, but he's better off kind of just getting the ball in his hand and figuring it out from there.
All right.
Yeah. I mean, we'll see. We'll see how he develops. How about let's talk about 9.65 RAS. Ricky Pearsall out of Florida. Just regular, not Florida State.
Not Florida State, just Florida. Yep.
Yeah. We both have him at 10. Mike has him at 9. Tony doesn't have him ranked. Neither does Shane on the TH Fantasy guys. He's an old man. He's already 26.
What?
Yeah.
No, he's not. That's Vele, I thought.
Ricky Pearsall age, he is 23. Okay, my data is all off. I don't know where I found that he's 26. Okay, he's 23. Let me take
still
that
pretty
back.
Old to be
still
fair,
pretty but... old. Why did I must have gotten my columns mixed up somewhere because I had all these ages. That might have been Vele. He is an extremely willing blocker and he loves to do a ton of silly highlight catches.
Yes.
He's a very good route runner. This offseason, he was working with Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle to get better at that. And if you watch the video, he's not that much different from them. If you watch the highlight video of them working out, I think he works best against zone coverage. He finds a great ability to find himself open. And he does have, like I said, some of the craziest highlight catches. Like Tony's original Trey Regis pick was that one Ricky Pearsall catch.
Yeah, where he just kind of sticks up his hand and the ball
just like
goes in there.
Yeah, and I think he's between two defenders too. Like it's just like a bonkers catch where he's falling down. I think that he has some of the craziest highlight catches, and you can kind of see who just watches highlights by how high up they have Ricky Pearsall.
Because, oh, yeah. I mean, Pearsall is the type of guy who, like, I think Pearsall is a solid to good player.
Oh, he's good.
And I think he'll have a role in the NFL. But, I mean, he's definitely not a number one receiver. And there will be people who have him, like, in their top five. And that's a little much.
Yeah, because they just watched, like, Ricky Pearsall, sickest hands in college football. You know, like a six-minute highlight video. And, like, like 3 minutes of it is that one catch.
Right, and everybody's like, angles. Oh, shit, he's Odell 2.0. It's like, no.
Yeah, no, he gets bodied by some DBs on 50-50 balls. Like, he doesn't always play, like, as big as he seems. I comped him to, like, Kenny Stills.
Yeah, that's not too bad. Stills definitely had that ability to make highlight catches.
Yeah.
I think that, yeah, Pearsall is he's an intricate route runner. He didn't get to show that all that much at Florida, but he is pretty solid in that capacity.
Mm-hmm.
Speed is good enough. Like you said, is his hands and his ability to make tough catches is his best trait. I think, again, he's definitely willing as a blocker. I don't know how well that translates to the NFL because he's not that big or strong, but the effort will certainly be there. I you can't discount that. I don't know. He's, again, another one that's like a tough comp because I don't know if Florida necessarily used him to his best capabilities until his senior season when he was already almost 23 years old. Yeah. So he's another one of those guys. There's a lot of guys in this class where I think they're going to have a clear role in the NFL, but are probably best suited to be a third receiver for a team. I could see Pearsall being like a KJ Osborne.
Okay. KJ Osborne. That's not a bad one. But yeah, it's also that like he didn't do much until he went to Florida. Like he was with Arizona for 3 seasons or ASU. And like his high was 48 catches for 580 yards. Like there was the COVID season in there, but still.
He was pretty stinky until he came to Florida.
Yeah. And even then he was like, he had a lot of deep passes his first year at Florida. Like he had a 20 on the dot yards per catch. And then like last year, he started to be more like a quote unquote real wide receiver. So it's just like this development track is kind of weird. And I think he might be topped out as insofar as what he is. And what he is like a team's like third receiver. Like yeah. he's like quirked up Juwan Jennings.
Yeah, yeah. He's got he's a like, you know, bizarro Juwan Jennings, where his like athleticism is totally the opposite, but they play yeah. very similarly for some reason. Yeah.
And the only time you'll see him make a difference is where he has like one really bonkers catch, but he'll finish the game with like two catches for 28 yards.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Pearsall yeah. is definitely going to be a dude who everybody thinks is way better than he is for like his entire career.
Yeah. So, not big on him for fantasy. Again, most of this stuff, it depends on where they end up.
Oh yeah.
Except for the stud of the class, Walker.
Oh my God. Whatever.
The best wide receiver, Brendan Rice out of USC, 6'2", 208, 7.65 RAS score. Walker, do you know his bloodline?
Yeah. He's related to Jerry Rice.
Not only is he related to Jerry Rice, he's directly related to Jerry Rice, as in half of his DNA is Jerry Rice's.
Yeah, this is Jerry Rice's son.
That's right. And he is really good. Walker claims that I'm just saying this because the 49ers are going to draft him. Brendan Rice out of USC. But I want the 49ers to draft him. I think like he's great. I think he's really good at high pointing the ball. I think he has really good body control. He beats guys one on one. He plays faster than his 40. He's not very good with the stems of his routes. He just kind of wanders around. He's a good moderate. I think he's a good moderate to deep threat receiver who could win a lot of deep balls because he does have good hands and he does have good ball tracking ability. Like, I don't like love Brendan Rice. I just like him more than everybody else does, which I guess makes me the Brendan Rice guy. But mm-hmm. Okay, I said he's DJ Chark, but good. He's just DJ Chark, who everybody loves, but I don't understand why people don't like Brendan Rice. Like, I think Brendan Rice is a good football player. Do I think he's a great football player? No. But, I mean, I have him eighth. I think he's better than Roman Wilson. I think he's better than Ricky Pearsall. Like, but that's it. I don't think he's an incredible NFL player. I just think he's very good. I think he'll be a good wide receiver, kind of like like DJ Chark, where he'll flash some games, but he's best suited as your third wide receiver. Like, I think he's a very good third wide receiver, but I don't know if he has the chops to be a wide receiver too.
Sure. I think he's more of a depth guy.
Sure.
Somebody who like has good size, makes some plays every now and then, but doesn't really push for more than that. He's always kind of like relegated to being the fourth guy. Maybe like a Donovan Peoples-Jones.
Sure, and I see DPJ and DJ Chark on kind of the same axis.
Final answer. Brendan Rice is on the DJ Chark, Donovan Peoples-Jones spectrum.
That's fine. I think that's a top 10 receiver in this draft class. That's all.
Oh, I have him at 20.
A 20?
I do.
This is ridiculous. You know who else came out at 6'2", 205.
Was it Jerry Rice?
A little man by the name of Jerry Rice.
Oh, how about that? That's weird that they have similar size.
Yeah, it's weird. And I was desperately trying to find what Jerry Rice's RAS score would have been, because Kent does historical RAS, but
yeah,
I don't see.
I think it was too. Rice. I think it's too old.
Yeah, it could be. Let's see Jerry Rice 40-yard dash. 4.71.
Not good.
What's Brendan Rice's 40-yard dash?
Like 4.5.
4.5? Wow. So would you say that Brendan Rice is a faster Jerry Rice? Wow.
No, okay. I wouldn't say that.
No, I wouldn't say that either. But I have to lean into this.
Yes, I know.
I have to lean into
this. Why is every receiver that you like named Rice?
I don't know. Rashee, Brendan. What other Rice is there?
Did you like Sidney Rice?
Sidney Rice was all right. Sidney Rice is fun. I think Sidney Rice suffered from looking too much like he looked too much like Percy Harvin. So I kept feeling like, you're not as good as Percy Harvin, even though you look a lot like him, because they were both on the Seahawks. And I think they were both on Vikings too, weren't they?
At one point.
Yeah. And so I was just like, you're like Percy Harvin, but not good. Even though you're not at all like Percy Harvin. So Sidney Rice suffered from that for me. Let's talk about Xavier Leggett a little bit. Tony's the only one who has him in his top 10. South Carolina, 6'3", 227, 988 RAS. If you want to know how he plays, I said he's Wish.com Debo.
Yeah,
I was going to say, I have to update that to Timu Debo now, because it's no longer Wish.com, it's Timu Debo.
I have him as, he's the LaVisca of the class to me. Just doesn't track the ball very well, isn't a good route runner, doesn't really play up to his size when the ball's in the air. He's good after the catch, very good after the catch, because he's strong and fast, and so he's really hard to bring down in open space. But yeah, he's a gimmick player. He can be a very good gimmick player, but he's a gimmick player. You know, this is a dude who is probably better suited to like a Cordero Patterson role than a real wide receiver spot on somebody's team. I just don't, you know, I have him as a fourth round player. I think his athleticism and his final season production is enough that he should definitely be drafted. But he's going to go way higher than I think he should.
Yeah, let's see. I have Leggett as, I have him my 13. I have him going in the round three comp picks. So kind of the same area.
Yeah, he will. I have a fourth round grade on him, but I think he's going to go like before pick 50.
Jesus, that would be incredibly stupid.
Yes, but I think it's going to happen.
Especially so, his best skill set is how like shifty he is with the football. Like he's a very good guy with the ball in his hands. Mm-hmm. But the problem is that when he has the ball in his hands, he hyper focuses on just beating the guy in front of him. Like he ignores that there are 10 other guys on the football field trying to tackle him. And so he does his best to get past the guy in front of him, completely ignoring that somebody is buzzing. Like I saw him more than once juke a guy in front of him just to run straight into the guy trying to tackle him from the side. He has like zero field awareness.
This is an and one mixtape ass. Right
there. NFL comp, the professor.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes.
Like he just tries. Yeah. All he does is just try to beat the guy right in front of him and just ignores everybody else. I do also think he's a good blocker.
These guys can block, and that is concerning because the Lions get extremely infatuated with receivers who can block. And I feel like they're going to take one of these receivers who sucks in the second round or something because he's big and can block.
Yeah. 49ers also have a third round comp pick. They love guys who can block and they love guys with yak. And I'm very scared that they take Xavier Leggett.
Yeah. Like, but if he falls to them. At that point, if Leggett fell to the late third, I think that's like not even that bad of a pick at that point.
Especially because the 49ers, they don't need third round picks.
No, they set them on fire all the time.
Yeah, they use them on Danny Gray and a kicker and Tyrion Davis-Price and who the hell is that guy's name? Trey Sermon. Like
and Jalen Hurd.
Yeah, third round picks. Always a mess for the 49ers. So yeah,
right in the garbage.
Yeah, just throw it right in the trash can with Xavier Leggett. That's fine. I don't care. But I'm just very scared that they're going to fall in love with him and be like, oh, this will be like our Debo if Debo gets hurt sort of thing. They need linemen and cornerbacks, Walker. They don't need wide receivers.
They very much need their first three picks should be lineman, corner in some order.
Yeah. If it's corner, lineman, fine. But they need two linemen and a corner desperately. And please. If you're going to use a third round pick on a wide receiver, please make it Brendan Rice.
They're going to use a third round pick on Jermaine Burton.
I don't even know who that is.
I know. They're going to use it on Javon Baker.
Please don't do that. All right, let's talk the last guy that we're going to talk here for wide receivers. It's Malik Washington out of Virginia, 5'8", 191. Walker, the only one with Malik Washington in their top 10. Let's see, where do I have Malik Washington? I have Malik Washington 17th.
Mm.
So, Walker, let's talk about Malik Washington.
Yeah, he's small. That's the biggest knock. 5'8", 191. He's solid, but he's short. And so he's not going to be able to win, outside. He's not going to be able to win outside, really. But he can go up the seam as a slot guy. He has weirdly good explosion numbers. His jumping is ridiculous. Despite his small size, he has like a 40-something inch vertical and almost 11-foot broad jump. So he's like really, really good at getting off the line, really good at leaping for balls. I mean, he's somebody who will – he's going to be too physical and too athletic for a lot of slot defenders. He's limited because of his size, but this is a guy who knows how to get open, who knows what his body can and can't do, and seems to have an understanding of what his role is going to be. I got stuff flying all over the place up in here. The window's Walker's, open and it's blowing Walker's shit all over.
Tornado.
I know. Yeah, I mean, Washington is like, again, he's another guy where he's the archetype of receiver that I really like, where it's like dude who consistently gets open, will earn targets, and can do something with the ball after he catches it. I like receivers like that. You know, that we mentioned him earlier in the episode, but Greg Dortch is not the worst comp for Washington. Dude who just consistently gets open. You know, Washington will probably go on day three. I would say early day three, but he will probably not go until day three. He's not going to be afforded a chance to start out of camp, but I think he grows into a top three receiver on a team fairly quickly, because once you get him on the field, I think it's going to be tough to ignore the fact that he's just better at football than a lot of the guys around him.
Yeah. I mean, I don't hate Malik Washington. It's just that, he's exciting. Like, he's okay. I said that his size primarily makes him a slot receiver, but I could see a team using him a lot, like out of the backfield or in like non-standard formations.
See kind of a Khalif Raymond type career from him, where he struggles a little early because teams don't give him any chances. Mm-hmm. And then once he gets a chance, he's just consistently somebody's third or fourth wide receiver for like a decade.
Yeah, well, if you want to talk consistently third or fourth wide receiver for a decade, Randall Cobb.
That would be, Cobb is a really, like, that's the high-end comp for Washington, and I think that that's possible. Mm-hmm. It's hard to say that, oh yeah, that's going to happen when you've got a guy who's 5'8", but yeah, I think Cobb is, he's stylistically, certainly a good comp, and that's what I hope Washington turns out to be, because he's fun and he's cool, but like, it's, you know, I think he's more of a wide receiver three who does really well in the role that you give him, but probably isn't going to be able to do more than that. He will be pigeonholed to a degree, but I think that he's going to get so many pigeons in that hole.
He's going to get so many. God damn it, Walker. I'm sitting here being like, what a floor.
Episode title, so many pigeons in that hole.
So many pigeons in that hole. Floor would be, would a floor comp be like Tymont?
Yeah, honestly. I mean, because I could see him. I could see a team being like, hey, why don't we try him out at running back? You know, he's good with the ball in his hands. He's kind of short and stout where he can take hits even though he's small. Yeah, I
mean, that's kind of how Virginia used him. They had him running a lot of like simple routes. Like when he was lined up in the slot, it's like it reminded me a lot of when the Chargers would put Eckler in the slot and he would just run like a slant or just like a curl or not something super complicated, or just have him go out to the flat.
Yeah, I don't think that's a bad comp. I think that's on the low end, of course, but. Yeah, I mean, and I think he could have a similar impact to like what Pop Douglas was able to have as a rookie, where if he goes to a team that doesn't have a true like standout receiver or anybody who can consistently get open, if he's the only guy on the field who can consistently get open, he will start to dominate targets because he will get open. He's just, you know, he's not really big or strong enough to be a consistent yak guy. He is a good route runner, but not good enough to be like constantly open all the time where you are forced to throw in the ball because he's just immediately releasing so well. But he has a particular set of skills. And I think that he can be very effective in the NFL with that set of skills, so long as a team doesn't just say, oh yeah, you're just a special teamer.
Yeah, if he gets pigeonholed into being a special teamer, I think that'll destroy his development. And yeah, I think that is on the table, because a team will look at him and be like, kind of small, great with the ball in his hands, but you're a kick returner, buddy.
You're a kick returner and a gunner. And it's like, yeah, well, I'm sure he'll do pretty well at that, but I feel like that's a misuse of his skill set.
Yeah, it's not. When you take him, and if you take him and you put him there, you wasted a pick.
Yes.
He can do so much more than that. So that I all right. All right, let's talk our Trey Regis pick wide receivers, which, if people don't know, these are guys that we're not sure if they're good, but they sure will be fun. Mike's is Jamari Thrash, who...
Oh, that's Tony's, I think.
Oh, that's Tony's?
Yeah,
Tony's
Mike didn't
pick one. Tony's is Jamari Thrash. I know nothing of Jamari Thrash.
He's fast? He played at Louisville. He's really fast. Have you heard that he's fast?
I've heard that he's fast.
Okay, well, that's pretty much all you need to know.
Walker, what kind of 40 did he run?
A
fast one? Did he even run?
I don't know. I have no idea. This is not a guy I've paid much attention to, because I don't like him very much.
4.46. He's not even... Yeah.
23 years old, mid 4.4s, 40. Not really a good route runner. He's there. He's got enough physical talent and enough size that he'll make rosters as long as he's willing to play special teams. But, I'm going to be honest with, I don't really understand this one. I don't even think he's that fun.
Is he DeAndre Carter?
That's
kind of, when you talk about him, it kind of sounds like DeAndre Carter, just kind of a guy
He's
floats
tall,
around. Yeah.
He's tall DeAndre Carter. That's fine.
Okay. Yeah.
He's Jalen Guyton.
He's Jalen, ugh, gross. Jalen Guyton, get out of here. All right, Walker, let's talk about Devon Vele.
Yeah. Devon Vele is ancient. That's the big knock. Going to be 26 before he plays a snap in the NFL. Also, he probably won't get drafted. This is a dude who I like that will almost assuredly never pay off, because he's got too many things stacked against him. But, boy, he was a lot of fun at Utah. Especially when Cam Rising was healthy at quarterback. Vele is just a go up and get it guy. I mean, he is strong, big, leaps well, high points the ball well, blocks his ass off. My comp for him is Mac Hollins, not a guy you want to be a feature part of your offense, but a great special teamer who will block his butt off and can function as a wide receiver 3 if you're desperate, but is better served as a depth guy who has a very specific role.
Yeah. When did Cam Rising get hurt?
Like, he barely played at all last season.
Okay, good. Cause my notes for him for Devon Vele were, do not box score scout him because his quarterback sucks ass.
Yes.
So that makes sense. Yeah.
Nate Johnson couldn't throw at all. And Bryson Barnes is pretty bad too. So, yeah, when Rising has been healthy, Vele has produced more. Utah's offense is also not really all that conducive to wide receiver production. They run the ball a lot,
yeah,
even with the quarterbacks, and they use the tight end a shit ton as well. So it's not the best offense for wide receiver production, but Vele is just a guy who he is a classic eye test dude for me, where I just watch, whenever I watch Utah play, Vele just jumps off the screen. His effort level, his strength, his blocking ability. I like the guy. He's endearing to me. He makes me want to watch him play more. And hopefully a team likes that enough to like pick him on day 3 and give him a chance for a roster spot. He might end up having to go up to Canada or something, but I like him. I think he's got ability, and I think that in a specific type of role, he could be quite a valuable player.
Okay. So my guy, speaking of specific types of roles,
yes,
Malachi Corley, 5'11", 215 out of Western Kentucky, classic running back build, which is great. 5'11", 215. That's a running back boy. When I watched him, I was like, wait, what? Like, when I was watching him, I was like, am I looking at, like, Because it looked, he just looked like a running back out there, like running routes. Like he's a bad, like he's not a very good route runner. And he doesn't even like look like a wide receiver, like when he's playing football. Like he just looks like, my original comp for him was Aaron Jones, just the pass catching part. And I was like, that's probably more like LaVisca Chenault. He just kind of, but what's fun is that like he, anything goes for Yak with him. Like if you come at him, he will just like run your ass over. Mm-hmm. Because of the way that he's built, but he's also like faster than you would expect. So he also ran past guys a lot at Western Kentucky. Again, it was Western Kentucky though. I think his best, like his best role is like being like somebody sitting him down and being like, buddy, you're not a wide receiver. You're a scat back. You're going to be a scat back. Like that's what you're going to do.
If somebody could turn him into Antonio Gibson,
I said JD McKissick.
Yeah, if you can turn him into that, then he's got so much more size than your typical receiving running back or you know, satellite back. That I mean, he's never going to be able to run between the tackles because he doesn't. He's never played running back. He's not a running back.
He doesn't have any vision. One. Yeah,
but in a very specific gadget role where it's get him the ball and get out of the way.
Mm-hmm.
He's good at that. You know, he if you get him in space in Western Kentucky's offense, while completely fake and horseshit, it does do a good job of getting players in space and getting out of the way. And Corley is real good at that. He's real good at just, you know, if he can get the ball in his hands, he's tough because he's low to the ground. He's stronger than hell. And he's pretty fast, too. So I think... Yeah, there's a spot for him in the NFL certainly, but the talk of him being like a mid day two pick is way rich for me.
Yeah, that's what's crazy to me, because when I watched him, I'm like, oh, this will be a fun like mid day three guy, and then I see people talking about him, I'm like, well, is this the same player? Is there a different Malachi Corley?
Because
people, I have a feeling that, yeah, I think you're right that a lot of wide receivers are going to get pulled up in this draft class, and they're going to go way higher than we think that they should.
Yes, I think that is unquestionably true.
Yeah, because what will happen is dumb teams will be like, okay, so we need a wide receiver. Let's take a wide receiver with, like, our third-round pick, and then all the good guys are gone, and they're like, well, shit, we need a wide receiver.
Yeah, we got to have a wide receiver here. It ends up, you know, Malachi Corley goes at, you know, like 68 or something for some reason.
All right, let's see who has 68, Walker.
Oh, God.
Let's see. That's first round. I need second round draft order.
No, you need third round.
Oh, 68 is third round. Let's see. 68 is New England.
Let's go. Let's go. Absolutely.
Let's do it. Build the whole offense out of...
that guy.
That guy. Various iterations of that guy. Ramondre, Antonio Gibson, and Malachi Corley.
Yep. And we've got Pop Douglas in there. We've got Kendrick Bourne. We're going nuts on like Yak guys. All Yak offense.
A-dot of four. Average yards per reception for the team is gonna be like 9.5.
They're gonna draft Jaden Daniels, and he's gonna run 14 times a game, dump it off 14 times a game, and huck it deep 14 times a game, and that's it.
That's the whole offense.
They're doing honestly, three true outcomes offense.
Honestly, I'd be down for that.
It would probably work better than like trying to create a real offense with their current skill position players.
Yeah, because with those skill position players, they need a gimmick. And the 14-14, the trips 14 offense is what we need.
Yeah, maybe we should say triple 13 so we avoid the 14 connotation.
Yeah, triple 13. Okay, so it's 13. It's Jaden Daniels, 13 chuck 'em deeps, 13 dump offs, and 13 rushes. So yep.
39 involvements on the game.
The 3x13 offense. Okay, perfect. All right. I think that's it for the wide receivers, Walker. That's it. If you're not paying us, that's it. Get out.
Yeah, you're done.
And then I'm gonna put in the little super Tecmo Bowl thing, and then we're gonna come back. And if you're giving us money, we're gonna talk about tight ends. Spoiler alert: they're not very good.
No, they suck bad.
Okay.